So, welcome to another episode of this podcast. And I have here with me Johnny Davis, and we are going to be talking about dating. Johnny is well equipped with some of the best knowledge I've heard. In fact, I've heard some of the same stuff from dating coaches that Johnny shares with me. And so I'm super excited to have him on today. So this is Real Talk with Sarah, and I've started just with that title because I want to talk about things that the church sometimes finds difficult to talk about. So today we're going to just take a really honest dive into Christian romance and some things that hinder really great people from connecting, being able to date, and then follow through to marriage. And one of those things is some of the hangups we have regarding a list of qualifications that we have that may or may not be wholesome. So, Johnny, can you start with that? How do you describe the list?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of churches have some version of the list. Me personally, when I got saved, it was write out a list. And this was like when I was in youth group, write a list of every quality you want in a wife one day. And God's going to give you the perfect person that matches everything on that list and be as specific as you want. And it'd be, you know, I knew people that had like 4 pages long and every little detail about, you know, every bit of their past, their looks, everything. Like, it got to the point where they had created a whole, like, almost like an author who creates a character where it's like every little detail mapped out. And
yes,
so I know a lot in youth group, we were taught to do this and God was going to bring us that person if we just made the list.
Yes. And so I want to ask you here, I know girls do this. Do guys do this too?
I think they can. Probably depends on the church culture. Like I said, mine, there was a lot of that where it's like, hey, make a list. I think a lot of young people in the church, I think guys could do it too. Maybe not every guy, but I've definitely seen guys that have lists and have certain things that, you know, they have listed that they were like, my wife has to have this. My wife has to have that. So yeah, I would say maybe not as common as women, but I think guys definitely do it.
Yeah. And so do guys do it with a lot of physical qualities? Because I know that's a real hang up for girls. Like he has to be, you know, such and such tall, and he has to have, you know, either blonde hair or, you know, whatever their quote type is. And I think those are some serious hangups sometimes because we really have some great people when we do that.
Yeah, I think I absolutely, I can say in my young Christian life during that time, I definitely had like physical traits on there in terms of like hair color, like you said, things like that. I've seen it a lot. It's just always so funny whether some of the things we'll write on there for physical descriptions when it's like, man, you pretty much just created a person. It's not a real person. It's like creating someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one person I really appreciate, she talked about creating an imaginary person in our head that doesn't even exist. And she talked about actually creating a soul tie with someone we have never met. And I was like, wow, I think a lot of girls do that. You know, we watch movies, we want the exact same story, and we want to fall in love the exact same way. And of course, in movies, everyone's gorgeous, you know, and so she was encouraging girls and guys to actually repent of this, like to repent of this imaginary person you've created in your head that you have a soul tie with, and you won't settle for anything but anyone who makes you feel just like that imaginary person.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even on the guy side, there's TV shows where, you know, the guy has that perfect girl that, oh, she loves sports and, you know, she lets you do what you want. She never argues, you know, she's totally happy with you to go out, hang out with the boys, like that kind of quote unquote dream girl. There's that in movies and TV shows for guys. And so I think guys have the same thing as, they have the kind of sometimes an imaginary perfect girl in their head that will match up with everything they want.
Yes. So you're still single. And I noticed in the article that you wrote that you have, you know, initially met girls and not found them, you know, totally attractive, like not a 10 or not your type or whatever. But as you got to know mm-hmm. them, they became more and more attractive. And you encouraged in your article, you encouraged people to go out with someone they might not initially be attracted to and to see what happens. How would you describe that process in your brain, and what blessing have you found in doing that yourself?
I mean, I think the biggest thing I see, especially in like my kind of generation, the church, is too many times we will take a surface level view of people. So mm-hmm. for example, like I have a friend group and we all hang out and we do stuff at church, but it's like if one of my friends was into another one of my friends, the judgment or like the kind of deciding factor is like, well, I've not really felt anything when we've all hung out at these big events and big groups, so I'm not going to pursue anything. When in reality, I think all of us, I don't want to try to make it sound like we have different personalities, you know, of course not, but we all have a different side of ourselves we show in different places, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to act differently around my young adult ministry that I used to lead and all them that were in there as compared to like, you know, being with my family or even being one-on-one with someone. I'm going to act a little differently, not even on purpose maybe, but there's different attributes of me that come out in different times. And I think my best example of this is, I don't know if it was in this article, the last one, but I write about a friend of mine, this girl that one of the boys in our friend group liked her and she wasn't sure what to do about it. She called me because she's like a little sister to me. She's like, Johnny, I don't know what to do. This boy just said he likes me. I'm like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's exciting. And how do you feel about him? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I never really thought of him that way. And I, you know, I really don't. I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Well, like, have you hung out with him outside of our group? Like, have you tried to get to know him a little bit? Oh, well, not really. I see him at church every Sunday. And like, when we go out to lunch, well, I was like, you should go hang out with him. Go get coffee. Go see if there's something there. And long story short, she did. And it was a week later. She's like, I am absolutely in love with this man.
Yes.
Like, he's the most amazing man. And I think that's happened, you know. Mm-hmm. I just think too many times between the list and physical attraction, you know, we put a higher importance on that. And a lot of times it makes us miss out on a lot of amazing people because we're so stuck in this little area that we can't see that God can do things beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, the wounded parts of us find security in being with someone who's super accomplished or super good looking, or, you know, I think I've heard this, you know, a lot from the guy's side, like it feels really good to have a gorgeous girl in your arms, you know, can mm-hmm. you see into a girl's heart who might not be blessed with the features that you want, that you prefer, and see past that into her heart and see what an amazing person she has, perhaps even more amazing than the girl on the other side of the room who might totally be your type when it comes to looks, you know? And I think I feel like there's, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and plus the reality is the looks, they're not going to last forever. You know, yeah. If you're a relationship, the most important thing is looks. Guess what? As they get older, that's going to go away. And if that's the if that's the foundation that the relationship was built on, it's not a relationship that's going to last.
Yes. And also, I like to think of it as in lust or love. You know, when you meet somebody and you just immediately feel like passionately in love with them, and no time has passed, no difficult things have happened, you know, nothing. One second, I'm going to pause. My computer needs to be plugged in. I'm so sorry. I'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that glitch. So Johnny, we were talking about the list and how to move past our sometimes not very wholesome qualifications that we're looking for, and to see the amazing people that are out there that are different than this picture that we've created in our head of what we quote have to have in order to be happy. or fulfilled or at peace in a relationship. And so I would love to hear more of your thoughts on this. One thing you said in your article was how that sometimes we have problems in ourselves, but we expect someone else to not have those problems. And you described it in your article. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to pull that up and read that for everyone to hear, because I thought it was really, just really great. You talked about, let me find it here. Okay, I like the one you wrote about Cindy. So I'm just going to read that for everyone here. Cindy is a 38-year-old mother of two. She had a rough childhood, but got saved in her teenage years and has been in the church ever since. She does occasional shifts at a coffee shop, but being a mom to the two kids is a full-time gig. Here is Cindy's list. She wants a pure man of God, capital letters. Still a virgin with no history of struggles with lust or porn. A successful businessman who can provide a comfortable financial lifestyle. At least 6'7" and some skin pigment, because she deserves a classic tall, dark, and handsome. A professional at romance, because she wants to be swept off her feet. Already great with kids and loves her kids. Some big muscles and a lean cut abdomen region. A musician who can sing to her. A good dancer too, because that would be fun. How about that list, you say? This is still from your article. Anything stick out reading that? Cindy is building this perfect image of a man, almost like she visited Bill the Spouse. She wants him to have an almost flawless walk with God, despite her having her past, a past herself that she has overcome. The guy she described is almost out of a romance novel with Fabio. Shockingly. Oh, and then you say, shockingly, not an expert on romance novel hunks, which is a good thing. I'm not either. I read very few romance novels because they're just not good for me. So here you're talking about, now I would say, you know, a pure man of God, that's a good thing. But you're talking about a mom who obviously, you know, she already has two kids, and yet her requirements is she wants a virgin, you know. And no history of struggles at all with lust or porn, you know. And I would say, you know, those are important things. But if someone's past, if your past is rough, someone else's past is rough, they're a new creature in Christ. They've repented. They walk in victory. You know, Cindy cannot require from someone else what she cannot offer herself. And then the rest is just, I mean, it's all good, fun things. But you're right. Cindy is looking for someone who does not match her at all, you know, and she wants a dream. And so could you elaborate more on that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked a lot about physical appearance. I do want to make it clear. It's not just that, you know, there's all sorts of ways we can make the list unrealistic. And also, you know, attraction is not the worst thing. Like, we're not telling people go and only date people you don't find attractive at all. That's not, don't misread this, but it's true. There are some good things in there. And that's what I tried to do, because I've seen so many people, both guy and girl, that do this, you know, loving your kids. That's important. You know, as a mom, you want them to love your kids, because that's going to be their new life.
Yes.
But I think so many times, kind of like you said, we want an expectation that we don't have ourselves. Mm-hmm. And purity is important. But at the same time, it's like, it's not to like down on the church, but there's a large percentage of men and women who have pasts like that, you know, and have redeemed them. Granted, I think another kind of warning I'll say is, this is not saying you should go date the guy that currently struggles with all that stuff. Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. No.
There's a difference.
But yeah, but it's like, we can take so many things of what we want to what we think we want and build a storybook romance out of it, saying this is what we want. And a lot of times what I see personally is guys and girls that make this unrealistic list and then shut themselves off from anything outside of that. The minute, it's almost like a checklist. Like, they look at person trying to ask them out, and they're like, oh, nope, they don't have 4, 7, 9, and 13. Can't go any further, you know? And the other part of that is, some of that stuff takes a while to find out, you know, maybe he's not a successful businessman right now, but maybe he's really good with finances. You know, maybe he's not a successful businessman, but man, does he have an idea for a business that he's in the beginning of pursuing? And then anyone that starts a business knows, in the beginning, you're going to struggle a little bit. You know, you're not going to have this wealthy, you know, getting all the pay and the business success. No, it takes some struggle and effort in, you know. There's just so many little things like that, that it's hard to say that right at the beginning, that's going to be evident. There's things that can grow in time. Even the romance thing, you know, I think of to romance as a guy, to romance a woman, here's the reality. I have to actually get to know the woman, because romance to one girl is going to look different than romance to another girl. I may not have all the cues to pursue a certain girl without knowing her, but once I get to know her, I'll start to learn those things and be able to do that. You know, I think there's just so many things that we will create a perfect picture of, not realizing it takes work to get to those things.
Yes. I love that. I love that so much. You said something in your article about how it's almost like Christian young people are walking around with a t-shirt that says, don't even try. And I have seen a lot of that, like Christian girls who are virgins. It's almost like they treat themselves like they're some special China doll that can only be purchased by the most perfect man who will do everything just right. And if he doesn't, he's not worthy of them. And it's kind of like a spiritual pride. And I've come to despise it because it's not authentic. It's Absolutely. Not vulnerable. It's not real. And it's not human. And I think so often our spiritual pride affects the most human parts of us, you know, and what we're talking about in these podcasts and what you're writing about, I am also so passionate about, because I want to help girls see this world is not perfect. When you sit down to watch a movie, you're watching something that people are putting together to sell. They're trying to market to the masses something that is appealing to your senses in every sense of the word. You know, that's just what it is. It's not real life. It's not real people. Someone said recently, girls, if you require your guy to be 6 foot at least, you're gonna have to go to, like, what country was it? I think it was Australia, where most of the guys are that tall. Because in America, most guys are not 6 foot tall. And so
I'm almost there.
I think my brothers, I'm not sure if any of my brothers are 6 foot tall, but they're awesome guys and wonderful husbands, you know? And I have seen repeatedly girls date guys exactly how you said, where, gosh, he's not, quote, what I thought my type was, but they date them, they fall in love, and they find the best husbands. And here's another thing. Husband material is different than, you know, just the initial romance and passion that you can have or feel like on a date when you start going out with somebody. Those are two very different things. Like, somebody's going to love you for the rest of your life, or somebody's going to portray himself as a lover for a few dates. Which one is it?
Woo, come on.
Yeah, and that brings me back to my thoughts about lust and love in the initial stages of a relationship, when two people meet and they are hotly attracted to each other. You know, that happens, and that's fun, and everyone wants that. But we're talking about a different scenario here, where you don't feel that initial spark of mad chemistry, and you give this person a shot and you uncover the gold, and then you fall in love with the entire person, you know, body, soul and spirit first. And girls who do the opposite, and guys too, I'm sure, who rush into something, get super serious really fast because of that chemistry, that physical or sexual chemistry. They call that love, falling in love. We fell in love at first sight. I'm starting to say, no, you didn't. You fell in lust at first sight. Because as soon as it got a little harder, 3 months down the road, when those feelings were fizzling out and things got a little hard, let's say he lived too far away or communication wasn't as easy as you expected, you know, real life happens and you're noticing that it's not as fun as it was in the beginning and you're out. That wasn't love.
Yeah.
That was some sort of emotional and physical gratification that you were experiencing and enjoying with this person and feeling proud for having them on your arm. Huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate that our young people would see this because I want people to date and marry. And I'm going to say date instead of court because I really do believe we need to take.
Man.
Yeah.
Come on.
We need to be open to having coffee, you know, like going out for a coffee like you do with a friend. You know, I have friends I just go out for coffee with. We know we're just friends, you know. You and I had coffee once, and we had just a wonderful conversation.
We did.
Because we've been friends forever. And there's so much to talk about, and that was wonderful. But if you have a romantic interest in somebody and you still just go out for coffee as friends, and you give that person a shot without labeling the relationship or diving in head first, you know, let's do this from the ground up. Let's find somebody we can connect with spiritually and emotionally. When I feel safe with someone spiritually and emotionally, that is huge for me. And yes, it's also huge to feel physically attracted to somebody, but that's not first for me, you know.
Yeah.
Because if it is, I will end up very lonely and like aching, like my heart starts aching, you know. And so
it's so fun. We're talking about this. So last night, I'll admit I like a good romance type movie occasionally. So last night on Netflix, they just added the movie The Vow with Channing Tatum, and I'd seen little clips of it here and there. It's like, oh, I want to watch this.
Was it
and
good?
What got me, it was so good. Oh my gosh. And then they do such a good job in those movies. Both look incredible.
Yeah.
Then they go through the heart wrenching, whatever the situation is, you know, he's pursuing her, but she has this. They do it so well. And they're really fun movies. But the funniest thing I found is this was based on a real story. I don't want to spoil it. But the end, they show the picture of the people the movie is based on. They looked nothing like Channing Tatum or the other lead girl. They look like normal human beings that don't live in a gym and have, you know, all the Hollywood stuff. And it just reminded me so much of, we get caught up in these stories but we forget that the looks part of that story, it's not really real, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I love what you're talking about with dating. I think dating's supposed to be fun is the first part. I don't mean fun like, you know, you're making out everywhere, doing not that kind of fun, but like it's supposed to be an enjoyable process getting to know someone. You know, I've known people that have just taken it so seriously. And that goes back to the courting thing where it's like they've been dating for a month and they're arguing and all of a sudden like, we need to go to couples counseling. It's like,
yes.
no, you guys have been dating for a month. It probably means that it's not a good time for one or both of you to be dating that person. Like, come on. But it's so funny because I think what you were saying about the coffee day is so good. But one thing I would add, stereotypically on the guy side, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I'll get on that to another thing of a girl talking to a guy about going out to coffee. But also make it clear too about it. It's like, hey, do you want to go to coffee? Because I'm interested in you.
Yes.
And that's a whole other communication topic. Make it clear so then the expectations are set correctly, you know?
Yes. I want to say something here from the girl's side is that girls really appreciate guys who are brave enough to ask them to coffee or to dinner. Like we know it takes bravery for a guy to approach us and say, can I take you out? And we appreciate that. And the guys who just don't have the courage because they don't want to be rejected. You know, that's actually very sad for the girls because then the girls are left. They don't want to approach. Some of them are starting to because, you know, guys aren't as brave as they used to be. Guys need to man up and say, I'm interested in you. Could I take you to coffee? So I agree with that. Yeah. If you're just friends, go out for coffee, don't say anything. But if you're truly interested in them, yeah, mention it.
Yeah. And I will give a tease for a future. There's definitely more to come about one, rejection, and two, communication and those kind of situations. Like, I won't go into a tangent on those, but those are coming. I think there needs to be intention there and get to know someone, because, you know, there are some amazing people out there. I know there's one couple that I listen to, they're kind of dating coaches. You know, they talk about how at first it wasn't that she didn't find him attractive at all. Just she's like, that's not really, it's kind of a skater boy type. It's not usually my type. But she went out with him. Yeah. And now she's like, no, he's incredibly handsome, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's less of trying to say, like, how to say this, like, it's less saying, hey, you need to lower your standards way lower. Like, it is a little bit of that. But it's more of, hey, don't have your standards so high upon the first date and the first meeting that the guy has to be like a pole vaulter just to, like, even get over there. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of great guys and girls out there. There's a lot of things that you wouldn't know about them unless you actually took the time to get to know them that might be the perfect thing for you, that actually might be something you find incredible, but they just don't get to show it as often because they don't get the opportunity to go out on dates, or, you know, you haven't actually got to know them deep enough yet.
Yes. I loved what you said about how, you know, from the guy's perspective, like, you don't even know how to romance a girl until you know the girl. And that might mm-hmm. take a few dates. And if she's just going to go to the first date and go, gosh, she really doesn't know how to do this thing right, and mm-hmm. and ditch it, you know, she might have robbed herself of an entire lifetime of just developing a love with somebody that would have been perfect for her. And so I think it's really cool that we have, like, the guy and the girl side here, because yeah. girls need to hear guys talk about this. They need to know that the guys are also going through something. You know, the guys mm-hmm. are also putting themselves at risk and being vulnerable. And it takes courage to do that, and time yeah. and Christian girls, all girls, but Christian girls especially, I think, need to quit being quite a snooty when it comes to men. Like, give the guy a break.
Yeah. I was going to say this for another one, but I want to talk from the guy's side to the girls about this. I absolutely think, yes, guys should pursue the girls in the relationship 100%. But I just kind of want to open up to kind of peek into, I don't want to say every guy is brave, but just get a wider understanding of why maybe guys are a little hesitant to approach. Our culture today is so crazy what's going on, and absolutely in an honoring way, what you ladies have to deal with from some not great guys is horrible.
Yeah.
But now it's become to a point where, because of the bad things those guys do, we get a nervous approaching girl because we don't want to come across like a creeper, or, you know, have something happen where someone thinks that we're something that we're not. You know, there's even in this extreme, but even going up and saying hi to a girl now, so much culture can say, well, they only do that because they're creeping, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of fear in the back of our head of like, well, we have pure intentions, but man, so much of the culture today says, if we don't do this exactly perfectly right, we're going to get painted in a certain way and possibly have other people be told that we were that way. So that's really hard. And granted, we do need to be brave and do it. I'm not trying to make excuses, but just kind of give an opening. And then on top of that, rejection sucks. Some guys have been rejected so many times of the approach that they start to get that gun shy. They start to get a little like, you know, I could do this, but man, it really hurt when I got rejected the last time. So maybe I'm not ready to do it. And again, this is all stuff us guys do need to work on. I'm not at all trying to say that girls should like completely lower the bar so we can just step right over it. But just keeping that kind of having that grace in mind of like, you know, this, there could be a lot more to it than just he doesn't know how to do it. And even what you said about certain girls, like on the first date, it's one thing if a guy, you know, just acts horribly, you know, if he's burping and mess all over his face, that's another story. But if he shows like he's trying, notice that, you know, and maybe even doesn't work out and be like, hey, I noticed you were really trying and I really appreciate that.
Yes. And if he burps, put yourself in his shoes. Like, what if you got hiccups at a fancy dinner? You know, would you want him to be turned off, or would you want him to laugh and go, yeah, well, that could happen to me, and make light of it and make you feel better?
Because I think it's important for guys to put effort out, you know, wear something nice, you know, be on your best manners. I love, there's this story my friend tells his family, he has a sister. His family is very traditional, where all the guys hold doors open for ladies, like the most gentleman raised family. And I love this. This girl, a boy took her out on a date. They drove to the place. He got out of the car, didn't get her door, and he went to walk, and she wasn't getting out of the car. And he's like, "What? Why aren't you coming?" And she's like, "You can go ahead and take me home now." Because I do think, in a way, that's an extreme story. But there are some standards I think us guys should be doing. You know, this is there's always that ditch on the other side of the road. Don't put the bar too high, but at the same time, the guy needs to step up and make it a memorable and good experience. If the guy,
old-fashioned chivalry.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Old-fashioned chivalry in approaching the girl first and showing the traditional gentleman-like manners, picking her up at her door. All of that good stuff is so helpful. And, and so, some of these, you know, the Ancient of Days is ancient ways. That's a verse somewhere. And some of these things that our culture is discarding will always be beautiful and will always work best for both genders. I mean, men like to protect and take care of women, right? And if women can just drop this brazen, I can do it all attitude that women have in this culture, and just admit, wow, there's a soft part of me inside that really, really wants to be taken care of. Even if it's simple as he opens my door or he pays for dinner, or, you know, it's a beautiful thing. God designed it perfectly and it's good. It's really, really good. We are out of time. But Johnny, it was so good to have you here on Real Talk with Sarah. And to all the listeners, there's more coming. Johnny Davis has a ton of experience with youth, with young people. He is 33 years old, currently single, and has a ton of wisdom on this topic. So Johnny, it's been so good to have you. And for the listeners, if you want more content, head over to my website, sarah-daigle.org. That's sarah-daigle.org. Or you can find me on Instagram or Facebook. So thanks again for listening. And Johnny, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.